Now, local news from Montana Public Radio.
Welcome to Capital Talk, our weekly legislative analysis program. I'm Edward O'Brien, sitting in for Sally Mauck, who's away this week. And as always, I'm pleased to be joined by Lee Newspaper's Capital reporters Chuck Johnson and Mike Dennison. And guys, this was such a densely packed week at the Montana legislature. Mike, it started Monday with a marathon hearing on the bill to ratify the Flathead Water Compact. And lo and behold, the Senate Judiciary Committee today took a vote on the thing, passed it out of committee. Tell us about it.
Yes, here we are. 8-4 was the vote this morning in the Senate Judiciary Committee to pass it out onto the floor. It's going to be on the Senate floor next week, probably Tuesday. And as you know, as we've talked about before, this is a highly emotional issue. The Water Rights Compact quantifies the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes' water on and off the reservation in terms of just kind of settling what their water rights have been, which go back to 1855 and a treaty. And there's a lot of opponents to this compact, many of them irrigators on the reservation or around the reservation who feel it's going to negatively affect their water use. However, the people who negotiated this, the state, the Water Rights Compact Commission, the Attorney General's been involved, the governor supports it as well, they think that it protects most of the current water uses. This morning in the committee, though, it got pretty testy. Chaz Vincent, the sponsor from Libby, a Republican, he's not a guy to sit idly by while people take shots at the compact, and he's engaging Senator Fielder from Thompson Falls and Senator Greg Hinkle from Bozeman, who are opponents, and they're going back and forth and charges of misinformation and charges of this being a Nancy Pelosi-style legislation that you have to pass to figure out what's in it. But it came down to it. Three Republicans supported it. Vincent, Senator Nell Swando from Wilsall, Senator Doug Carey from Billings, joining all five Democrats to send it out on an 8-4 vote.
So, Mike, that's a big vote on a controversial plan. Could there be political fallout for the three Republicans down the line?
Yeah, I really don't think so. This has mainstream support from the big ag groups in the state. And like I said, the Attorney General, a Republican, and the governor. And a lot of people have worked on this thing, and a lot of irrigators on the reservation support it, as well as some who oppose it. A lot of the big irrigators and farmers on the reservation are behind this, saying this settles these water rights. We don't have to mess around with them in court forever and ever. And it still allows people on the reservation to still file for the water rights, although they argue that it kind of stacks the deck against them in the future.
What was the audience reaction when the final vote was tallied?
Well, there are lots of tribal members sitting there, and their supporters, of course, they're pretty happy. They're shaking hands with the people who voted for it and shaking hands with a lot of the supporters. And the opponents, they left the room fairly quickly, and I'm sure there'll be a pretty good fight on the floor, but I think there's going to be a bigger fight in the House. That's where it's going to really come down to it, whether they can get that bill out of committee and onto the floor. And there's some money involved, too, $8 million, which was in the budget bill that the governor presented in the House. That's been taken out by the House Appropriations Committee. There's going to be a fight to get that money back in as well.
Mm-hmm. Chuck, campaign finance this week. Governor Steve Bullock's main disclosure bill was heard in committee. The governor is a Democrat. His proposal is carried by a Republican, Dwayne Ankeny of Forsyth. And as you reported this week, they say it would, quoting the late Justice Brandeis, shine sunlight on dark money. How would it do that?
It would require every expenditure made in a campaign to be reported, and even these kind of so-called dark money groups that now come in anonymously. You don't know where their money's coming from during the campaign, and you don't know where the money came from, who donated the money to them. So it's a pretty strong bill, and it was a pretty good hearing. You had a number of people testify for it. A couple of people were against it. One of them was Jeff Laszlofy, who heads the Montana Family Foundation, and the other was an attorney in Helena named Chris Gallus. And they both raised questions saying, well, it's not really needed. I don't see anything that can't be done under present law, although the people testifying for it said it's definitely needed. You can't get that information under current law. So it's in a tough committee that has killed most of the campaign finance bills this session on a party line vote. So I wouldn't be surprised if this doesn't face a defeat in committee and doesn't have to be blasted out of the committee by the full Senate, where I think it has a shot at passing.
You know, Mr. Lasloff used Commissioner of Political Practices Jonathan Modell to help make his point about how this isn't really needed. He said the bill's too vague and leaves too much authority in the hands of the Political Practices Commissioner. But then on the other hand, if I'm following the story right, he said it appears Mr. Modell and the courts are already adequately dealing with these issues. So my question is, which is it?
Yeah, that was kind of a contradiction. Both Lasloff and Gallas said, well, there's no need for this. The commissioner can already do that, even as the commissioner said he couldn't do it. So it will be a really interesting question, but I don't think it'll be done in this committee.
Mike, Medicaid expansion. It's one of this session's signature issues. Governor Bullock wants the state to accept about $700 million in federal funds to expand Medicaid to about 70,000 Montanans. And Republicans for years now have been saying, no way, that money could dry up and then we, Montana, get stuck with the bill. So they say able-bodied, childless adults should not have access to free health care. And so Representative Nancy Balance has introduced the first component of their alternative to the proposal. How is it different?
The Balance bill expands Medicaid to a select group of people. They're estimating 10,000 to 15,000 people, the parents of low-income children who are already covered by Medicaid. It extends it to them. It also opens up some new slots for disabled people in various local programs like group homes. That's just an addition of money. And then also some veterans would be covered under a rather complicated formula where we identify that they're not getting VA services, they'd be eligible for Medicaid. And so it's targeting these people, and that is all going to be paid for by a combination of state and federal money. Whereas the governor's plan is funded entirely by federal money, and it covers everyone up to 138% of the federal poverty level.
And opponents to Balance's bill showed up in force, apparently, on Wednesday. Let's listen to John Woodland, who's board chair of Mineral Community Hospital. That's in Superior. He testified that partial solutions just aren't going to cut it.
Without those Medicaid dollars, without that funding coming in, we are absolutely struggling, and we run the risk of losing that hospital.
Yeah, what he's saying is that we have a lot of uncompensated care in these communities because there's a lot of people who don't make very much money, and they would be covered by the Medicaid expansion proposed by the governor and therefore would increase their revenue quite a bit. And this is one of the arguments you're going to hear in favor of the governor's proposal.
But Representative Balance says what's nice about House Bill 455 is that it doesn't lock the legislature into any one particular solution. Let's listen.
It was not my intent to try to solve the full Medicaid expansion problem. It was my intent to make sure that we had a fallback plan so that we didn't leave these people behind one more time.
Yes, I think what she's saying is that if we're not going to pass the full Medicaid expansion, which is definitely a possibility since a lot of Republicans oppose it, let's at least expand Medicaid to cover this group of people who are pretty poor, pretty vulnerable, and probably need the services more than others.
Chuck, you reported this week that the House Judiciary Committee narrowly backed a bill to abolish the death penalty. And this really took me by surprise because Republicans, not a blanket statement, but generally speaking, tend to support capital punishment. This made it out of committee by a hair's breadth. What happened?
Well, it was interesting because the House Judiciary Committee in recent sessions has been kind of the black hole for this bill. It's squeaked by the Senate in recent sessions by one or two votes and then was tabled by the House Judiciary Committee. In this case, you had all nine Democrats vote for the bill, and then you had two Republicans cross party lines and vote for it. And they were Representative Bruce Myers of Box Elder and Representative Clayton Fiscus of Billings. I talked to both of them yesterday. Myers is Native American, and he said his Native American heritage taught him to respect life. And his mother was a Christian, and he said he likes the mercy in the New Testament rather than the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth philosophy of the Old Testament. Fiscus, he said the current death penalty is a joke in Montana, that the state winds up having to spend $3 or $4 million to defend the convicted, usually murderer, and has to bring in specialists in death penalty cases, and then nothing ever happens. And he thinks that a lifetime in prison without parole, which is what this bill would do in lieu of the death penalty. He thinks that would be a harsher penalty than the death penalty. And the sponsor of the bill is Representative David Doc Moore of Missoula, and he said he was stunned by the outcome in committee. And what it will do in the House remains to be seen, but I talked to some House Republicans yesterday, and they think it has a shot of passing. So it's definitely been, in recent sessions, much more support for it in the Senate. So they started it in the House this time, and if it can get through the House, I think its chances of passing are pretty good.
Very interesting. What a session Representative Moore's had between his yoga pants last week, this week, death penalty.
Yeah, he's... despite all the stories about yoga pants, he's a serious legislator, and I think does command a lot of respect on issues up here.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we thought this week's legislative action was hot and heavy, just wait till next week, and that is, Mr. Johnson, because of transmittal, that means what?
The transmittal deadline is next Friday, a week from today, and that's the 45th day of the session, the halfway point. And on that day, every bill that's general legislation, which is anything that isn't related to budgets or taxes or referendums, automatically dies if it hasn't crossed over to the other house. So there's still bills coming in, and there's still hearings to be had. It's going to be very hectic as committees try to have hearings on these bills and then decide whether to pass them, amend them, defeat them, whatever. And it's always a pretty intense time, pretty crazy time. And then they take action, final votes on the bills on Friday, and then they're gone for 3 or 4 days. So you never know what will happen on transmittal deadline. It's a very strange time.
Very strange, always very interesting. I've been speaking with Lee newspaper reporters Mike Dennison and Chuck Johnson. I'm Edward O'Brien, and to everyone's relief, Sally Mock will be back next week to break down the week's legislative events with you gentlemen. Until then, don't work too hard during this upcoming week.
We'll try not to. Thanks, Ed.
Thanks, Ed.